Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Father, we thank you for these amazing testimonies. Lord, at the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is confirmed. We ask, oh God, that Father, someone who is trusting you to be established maritally here today shall indeed be established in the name of Jesus. And we declare once again that every weapon that is fashioned against anyone is hereby neutralized, nullified, cancelled in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I'd like to welcome you to this time this evening. I believe God's servants will be joining us shortly, but so that we can maximize time, we want to see how we can close on time today. I'll go ahead and just share the word briefly in the next maybe 20, 15 minutes thereabouts, and I believe that you'll be blessed. We're looking at true love for marital success. True love for marriage, or true love for marital success. True love for marital success. We want to see how to love and how to be loved, and, you know, how to know who loves you for you before you marry, and who loves you in the marriage. The sister that messaged that she and the husband are having crisis and wants me to pray for them, I said you should be in the meeting. I hope you are here. You know, sometimes we don't realize that the word is the quickest answer to many of our problems. If we will receive the word and the word will take root in us, the things that we are asking for someone to pray for us about is already halfway or 80% handled. So the word is vital. When we call for this kind of meeting, encourage your friends, your loved ones. If you know married couples or singles who are going through something, encourage them to be in this meeting. But I want to congratulate all of you that are here. This is very commendable. Can you celebrate yourself with a clap offering? Praise the Lord. How do we define love? What is love? Is there anybody that wants to give me a definition of love? Okay, I'm not very close to where you are. Maybe in another session I'll put the pulpit there and be close. These days we have so many definitions of love. We have what people think love is. You see young people getting into relationship and, you know, they say, oh, I love you, baby, I love you, can we go out? You are meeting me for the first time today. You have loved me and you want to go out with me now? I love you, I love you, I love you, and we don't fully understand what it means. What is love? Love is a deep affection. Love is deep affection. Love is God, number two. The nature of love, therefore, is the nature of God. So when you love someone and you want to know how to express that love, or how to define the love, or how you can, you know, investigate the love that that person claims to have for you, is to compare that love to the nature of God. Love is so vital for our lives and destinies today. And so, a whole chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is allocated by God to talk about what love is. Even if we have a two-hour teaching, we cannot exhaust the content of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And then there are lots of books spread over the Bible. The Songs of Solomon, the books of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. These are books that enumerate what love is. The issue of love in our generation, I believe that we, the church, will correct the negative and the wrong expression and impression of it in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's look from the scriptures and also what we see. Well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to try and jump and skip some verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So if you can open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll read through, I'll read from verse 1. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, that is love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt and have not love, it profited me nothing. 4. Love suffereth long, and love is kind. Love envieth not, and love vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly, does not seek out her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, and endureth all things. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But then, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And for now, we see through a glass darkly, but when face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. We'll stop there, no need for 13. Okay, let's go. Let's take 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity, that is love. Very express description of love. I'm bothered by the lack of love in marriages and in homes. But the people are living together as husband and wife, especially as Christians. But fundamental love is not characteristic in their relationship. I'm going to enumerate 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Maybe we might not stop to explain. Then I'll pick 2 of the points for today, and then we are good to go. What is love? Love talks about fondness. If somebody says he loves you or she loves you, that person ought to be fond of you. You enjoy to be in that person's company. That's fondness. You are fond of the person. You are excited to hear the person's voice. You are excited to talk with the person, discuss with the person, share your cares and your burdens with the person. Number 2, love is tenderness. A person you truly love, you are tenderly compassionate towards that person. You can't claim to love your wife and you are slapping her. You can't claim to love your husband and you are telling lies on him and stealing his money from his jacket pockets. Why are you laughing? I spoke to a woman some years ago and I think the husband brought a complaint that money is missing in the house and it's just 2 of them living. And I said to her, this is what is going on. And she said, there can be big, big rats and there can be small, small rats in the house. She was stealing money from the husband's pocket. Number 4, love talks about warmth. A loving relationship is a warm relationship. It is warm. It is, you don't sit and there's this icy coldness existing between you. There is warmth in the relationship. Number 4 is attachment. A person you love, you are attached to that person. You are connected to that person. You are linked to that person. A person you love is somebody that you are attached to. Number 5 is endearment. When you say somebody's endearing, somebody's endeared to another, the person is dear to you and you want to express that dearness. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. You are endeared to the person. And number 6 is compassionateness. Love is compassionate. You are kind. You are thoughtful, you are considerate. There's that love that is mixed with concern in a person that you love. A husband cannot claim to love his wife if he's not compassionate about her. She's sick, she has a challenge, you don't care. No, that's not love. Your husband has a challenge in his place of work, and you don't care, you are not bothered. There's someone that says, hey, it's good for himself, the way he's treating me, make him buzz, they shout on him too. I mean, that's absolutely not an expression of love. Love is compassionate. Number 7, love is not envious. Love is not envious. Genuine love does not envy. There are some women, when the husband is rising in life, they are full of envy. Me too, I can. There are some men, when their wife is making progress, maybe having accolades in the office, being given awards, or people are celebrating her, the man becomes envious and he's angry and, you know, begins to talk down on her and so as to put her in her place. No! That is not love. Love is not envious. Number 8, love is kind. That's obvious. Kindness, one to another. You assist one another. You know, it is said that if you see a man opening the car door for a woman, it's either of two things. It's either the wife is a new wife, that's he just got married, or the car is a new car. So that she will not open the door anyhow and bang it anyhow. So, you know, if you see him opening the door, is it a new wife or new car? Kind gestures have become cares in marriages and in homes. Young lady, you are in a courtship. The guy is not kind to you. It's a warning signal. The guy is already envious of you. Your salary is higher than his. He's already envious. It's a warning signal. There's a case I was handling some time ago, disparity like that in financial status in marriage. And it was so obvious even before the marriage. And we warned the lady, but she still went ahead. It was very turbulent. None of you shall encounter any turbulence in your relationships in the name of Jesus Christ. Number 9, love is appreciative. If you love somebody and the person does something for you, you are appreciative. You are grateful. You don't take it for granted. It's not a right. It's a privilege. Love is appreciative. There are women whose husbands pay children's school fees and not a word of appreciation comes from their mouth. There are women whom the husband has given you money for the household expenses and there's no appreciation. Rather, I say, you don't know how the economy is. Is this the only money you are going to give me? He too, has his salary increased? Did he get more money from somewhere? Appreciate that little when you thank God for the small one that is in your hand. God has an amazing way of multiplying it to you. Appreciation. The same way God loves us, his children, to be appreciative of him, the same way he wants us, husbands and wives, to be appreciative of each other. The wife has been toiling in the kitchen. Both of you left church together. Both of you closed from the office together. You got back home. She headed straight to the kitchen, cooked the food, served it, and you just ate it, licked your lips, and stood up and left. A little word of, Madam, this was good. Thank you for making the effort for a nice meal. It doesn't take anything from you. Tomorrow when she's cooking the food, she'll add extra maggi and extra pepper or extra whatever so that it will be just a little bit sweeter because she remembered the appreciation of yesterday. One little appreciation takes you a long way in life and in destiny. Number 10 is enthusiasm. When you love somebody, you are enthusiastic about the person. If you are in courtship and the guy doesn't want to introduce you to his friends, check it. The girl doesn't want you to meet anybody that she knows. She's not enthusiastic about the relationship or about your person, about who you are. There is a challenge. These are telltale signs during courtship. A husband wants to show off his wife. You remember the story of in the book of Esther concerning Vashti. The Bible tells us that King Ahasuerus was throwing a feast for all his presidents under his territory and all the princes under him, and he sent for them to bring his wife so that he can show them her beauty. A man that truly loves his wife will want to express and show who he has, and a woman vice versa. Number 11 is generosity. There can never be true love without generosity. Number 12 is unselfishness. So many people are selfish in their relationships. They think about only me, myself, and I. Only me, myself, and I. Selfishness. Number 13 is goodwill. Somebody who loves you and who you should agree to marry should be somebody that has goodwill towards you. Wishes you success. Wishes you breakthrough. A husband and a wife should be able to express goodwill to each other, considering the other person and aiming to assist the other person to become the best of who they should become. Number 14. Love is sympathetic. Love without sympathy is no love at all. Sympathy expressed in marriage goes a long way. You know, all these crusades we go for and travel up and here and there, not every one of the places is very conducive. Some places are very dusty. They give you a bed in a room that is moth is growing in the room, or dust is there. And one of such meetings we went for, I was reacting to all that, you know, stuff in the air. And I would cough. And even in the middle of the night, my husband would wake up and pat my chest. Sorry. Even if it disturbed his sleep. So that's sympathy. Sympathetic. I shouldn't report you. Sorry, sir. I'll try not to report. I won't say anything more. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There are some men, wife is coughing. Or maybe she's pregnant with a big belly. Maybe these people that have their children close to each other, you know, like one year gap. So she's pregnant with one. One is 1 year old, one is 2 years old, one is 3 years old, and she's coping with all of them, and she's doing all that, and the man can't care or be bothered. Sympathy is very, very important.
The man can't care or be bothered with a child that is 1 year, another one is 2 years, another one is 3 years. Meanwhile, he is the source of that impact.
Praise the Lord. Please, it's so important, especially when you are part of what the woman is going through, to be sympathetic. Praise the Lord. And women, sympathize with your husbands as well. Young lady, you are in a relationship. A couple was telling me a story the other day, I think that was yesterday, and before they got married, the young lady had a cat as a pet, and I think out of old age or whatever, the cat died, and she was so sad, and they were still in courtship, and the guy had to work on his mind so that he can understand how she feels in order to comfort her for the cat that died. Meanwhile, he doesn't care about pets. He doesn't want to see them around him. So they are even currently married, and they've been in a negotiation of how to have a pet. So their compromise is, rather than a cat or a small in-house dog, you know, the small ones that stay inside the house, they are agreeing on a big, maybe German Shepherd or Rottweiler that will be outside, but is still under negotiation. But he was sympathetic enough to encourage her. when her cat died. Think about it. Put yourself in the shoe of the other person and act as appropriate how you want the person to act to you. And number 15, which is the last of the points, is patience. Love is patience. You have to be patient with your spouse. There is no perfect human being. You don't marry an angel. Angels don't marry. It's human beings you marry. And human beings are not perfect. There can be people that are close to perfection, but for you to expect somebody to be everything you want that person to be, it's a daydream. So whatever you see, especially if you are in the marriage, be patient with it. The time that you can decide or decide otherwise for or against is before you marry. Now I'm going to zero down on just two of these 15 points that we have said today and then just talk about it a little. The first is selfishness or selflessness. In verse 4 and verse 5 of that 1 Corinthians chapter 4, let's look at verse 4, 1 Corinthians 13. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. When you are in courtship especially, be on the lookout for how selfless that person is. A person that thinks of only himself and only herself in that relationship, that is a red flag. That's a danger signal which you must pause to consider and reconsider. And then you can do litmus tests. Put little fleas in front of the person to really confirm that person thinks only of himself or thinks only about herself. There are some people that are so self-centered. It's only them, me, myself, and I. For me, that's the nature of Satan. If you encounter such a person, think about it before you go ahead. And if you have found yourself in a marriage, in a relationship with such a person, how do you go about it? Is to generally lay it at the altar in prayer and then get involved in the things that person is involved in so that you are part of his selfishness or part of her selfishness. I don't know if you understand me. Since he will not stop it, he will not stop thinking just about himself, be inside the activity of himself. Be inside her activity. And then it flows better. I don't have much time to dwell on that. Let's look at generosity. Generosity. We picked out those 2 points from the 15 points. Generosity. If you look at verse 2, what does verse 2 say? Generosity. It says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt and have not charity, it profited me nothing. There are some people who can give to others but cannot give to their own. There are men that are generous to people outside. They are Father Christmas to everybody. But they don't give to their wife. They don't give to their children. They don't take care of the needs of the home. There are women also who are like that. But basically, in marriage, you know that the bulk of the responsibility of care in the home is the responsibility of the man. But I see a very big misnomer in our days where men want to live off women. And they're already married. They come to us. What do I do? The man is not working. He doesn't want to do anything. I work. I do this. I do that. And he collects all the money. And he doesn't even tell me what he's doing with the money. And he's asking me to go and borrow more money. And I'm indebted because of him, etc., etc., etc. In the courtship, there is enough warning sign. There is enough signal. Maybe in the courtship, you went out for dinner. Maybe the first time, he paid for the food. The second time you went out, he paid for the food. The third time, he forgot his wallet in the car. The third time, he came with an ATM that has expired. The fourth time, he said, please just pay, I'll pay you back when we get back, I'll do a transfer. Transfer never came. And you are watching it all. You are seeing it with your two eyes. In that courtship, suddenly he is Father Christmas to all his relations. Hey, my uncle just had this big problem. And the money they need is this amount of money. Please, can you give me a loan there? Let me help my uncle to solve his problem. The next day, maybe a friend had an accident. He has to help him. Another day, somebody else. And you never heard back from him that the friend that had the accident is now fine and discharged from the hospital. You never heard that the uncle is now okay. Sister, shine your... Young men, there are also women who are gold diggers that come into relationship with you. All she's after is your money. Either way, male or female, you know that there is a danger when money is available, the relationship is very buoyant. But when somebody asks for money and it is not available, there is frowning, there is tension, they refuse to, you say we should go to Mr. Biggs. I'm not in the mood, I can't go. We are saying these things with every passion and compassion because these are things that show you what is going on. You go ahead with such a marriage, the way you are taking care of the man, you buy him shirt today, buy him tie tomorrow, buy him expensive Gucci shoe tomorrow, another day, you do this, you do that, you are buying him gifts. He's not buying you anything. Think about it, oh. Think about it. Or the one he buys for you is substandard, but you are buying high-end things and giving him. When you enter the marriage and you allow such to continue, such a person will expect you to continue to feed the house, continue to pay your children's school fees, continue to do everything that needs to be done. I know that in our society now, there's something they say, going Dutch. Is there something like that, you know? Oh, yeah. The young people know the terminology. That's they share expenses. If that is what you agree to do, that's beautiful. That is perfect. And by all means, every home, man and wife should be part of the caretaking of the home. But when you see in the process of courtship that somebody is taking advantage of the relationship, then you have to think twice about it. Ensure that you are not a victim. Ensure that you are not a victim. Ensure that you are not a victim. Please, somebody stand up on your feet tonight and let's lift up our hands and talk to God in the name of Jesus Christ. Ask God, Father, help me to identify true love. And also help me to identify who is coming to me to take advantage of me. Help me, oh God, not to make a mistake in my marriage. Oh Lord, not to make a mistake in getting married. And Lord, in the marriage, I ask, oh God, for direction, for this relationship to be successful. Oh God, grant me the grace as a man to take my responsibility in the home, as a woman to take my responsibility as well. Oh Lord, I look up to you for your help. Talk to God tonight. Talk to God tonight. I break the yoke of singleness. I break the yoke of delay in your life. In the name of Jesus, I come against desperation. I come against panic attacks. In the name of Jesus, I declare that you shall be confident and you shall not give yourself cheaply to anybody to use your life as an ATM card in the name of Jesus. Lekotoko shaka. Pray. Talk to God. Talk to God. Leshata kalabalabalaba. Lesotoko baradeyanda. Leketekele barabalaba. Letosaka takalaba. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Father, we thank you. We ask, oh God, that you help us to digest this word. And I break every soul tie in any relationship now. every blind love of any young lady towards any young man. I break that blind love. Like that scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, we see now darkly as in a glass. Every darkened vision of anyone in love, we command her eyes or his eyes to clear in Jesus' name. In verse 18 says, but we all, with open face, not even that one, beholding us in a glass, the image of God, the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, yes, verse 18. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 13, go back to 11. It says, for now, verse 11. What was that? 12, okay. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then we see face to face. Now I know that, know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. When love is on, during courtship, there is this tinted glass in front of people's eyes that dims their visibility and dims their vision. Then when they marry, the next part of that verse, their eyes will open and they will see face to face. They will see reality of who the person is. Did you see that? Let's read it together. For now, we see through a glass, darkly. Oh no, hold on. You know how it is if you wear sunshade. Eh? Sunshade. Not photochromic. Sunshade inside a dark room. How is it? You see darkly. Some people are seeing that man with sunshade, oh. Some people are seeing that woman with sunshade. Somebody say, I removed the sunshade from my eye, oh. Then the next part of the verse says, but then, after marriage, we shall do what? We shall see face to face. Now we know in parts, but then shall we know, even as I am known. Tell God, Father, help me to see face to face now, oh. Before the appointed time. Any young person, pray that prayer and mean it from the depth of your heart. Those that are already married, say, Father, help me to accommodate the face-to-face that I'm seeing now. Help me to accommodate the face-to-face that I'm seeing now. Talk to God, talk to God, talk to God.